ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சோ தி டீச்சர் கண்டினியூஸ் வித் த க்ளோரிஃபிகேஷன் ஆஃப் தி டீச்சிங் பிஃபோர் ஹீ பிகின்ஸ் தி ஆக்சுவல் டீச்சிங். So in the following portions, the teacher emphasizes the aparoksha jnana nishtha. He says, even though the Upanishad may reveal that I am Brahman, unless I gain the knowledge and own up my true nature, it is not going to be of any use to me at all. And he explained this through two examples that we saw in the last webinar. Through a king who lost his kingdom to an enemy, even though the kingdom legally belongs to him, and until he drives the enemy out and reclaims his ownership, there is no benefit of claiming rajahood or rajaship at all. Similarly, we are all owners of the moksha samrajya legally, but it is usurped by the enemies, the ajnana, samshaya and viparyaya, and removal of ignorance and doubts alone is not adequate. One has to tackle all emotional problems, this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, all of them. Even if one of them are there, it will take away the moksha samrajya. That is example number one. And in the second example, the Acharya talked about a poor person who has a treasure in his small piece of land which he did not know. So if a friend tells him about the treasure, that alone is not enough till he digs and removes all the obstacles like the loose earth, the clay, the hard rocks, etc. He cannot enjoy the treasure. Similarly, between me and moksha, there are three layers of obstacles. Each layer is stronger than the previous layer, namely ajnana, samshaya and viparyaya. Unless these are removed, one cannot enjoy moksha. These are the two examples Acharya gave. We saw up to this in our previous webinar. Now let us continue with the next shloka. Shloka 67. தஸ்மாத் சர்வ பிரயத்னேன பவ பந்த விமுக்தயே ஸ்வைரே வயத்ன கர்த்தவ்யா ரோகாதாவிவ பண்டிதைஹி. So the Acharya is giving a general advice here through the student. He says, தஸ்மாத், தஸ்மாத் means therefore. Even though the moksha is your very nature, but you have to own it, which requires your initiative. So he says, sarva prayatnena. Sarva prayatnena means by all efforts. Yatnaha kartavyaha should be put forth wholeheartedly, sincerely. Kartavyaha, very sincerely. By whom? Panditaihi. Panditaihi means here the intelligent people, not jnanis, by the intelligent people. But vivekis who value emotional freedom. Their emotional quotient is really very significant, like the intelligence quotient. These days, you know, they also try to measure the emotional quotient of a person. That is very important. And svena eva, this effort cannot be put forth by somebody else, but by oneself. Effort for moksha cannot be replaced by someone else's effort. For what purpose? Bhava bandha vimuktaye. For freedom from the bondage of samsara, bhava, bhava bandha, which expresses in the form of what? Sorrow, anxiety, insecurity, fear, anger, they all express through that. Depression, all emotional, physical, intellectual shackles. Vimuktihi, vimuktihi means removal of all of them. So for the removal of bhava bandha, effort should be put by oneself. And Shankaracharya, he gives an example here. Rogadav iva, as in the case of removing all diseases, rogas, which requires lot of efforts, like patyam, aushadam, convalescence, so many things. And in the case of a disease, the medicine has to be consumed by whom? By oneself. In the same way, Guru, Shastra, they all, or even Bhagavan, they cannot give moksha themselves. They can only support us. We have to claim our jnanihood. So, roga adav, adav, the disease, etc. Adav means what? Another example given earlier, we told earlier, like removal of hunger. If a person has to remove hunger, he has to take food himself. That is most important. Same way here also. Shloka 68. Yastvaya adhyakrita prashnaha pariyanchastra vinmataha sutra prayoni gudhartaha jnatavyasya mumukshubihi. So here the acharya glorifies the student again. Until now, the teaching was glorified. So far, the acharya glorified the teaching. Now he glorifies the student because he has discerned that moksha is the primary goal of life. The student has understood that. So, tvaya kritaha prashnaha variyan, he says. The question raised by you, tvaya kritaha prashnaha, is indeed great, variyan. What was the question? The seven questions that was asked actually in the 49th shloka, if you remember. Ko nama baddha, katam yesha agataha, katam pratishtasya, katam vimoksha. Actually, seven questions. All of them we don't have to list again. So, they were all asked. And this group of questions is referred as prashnaha here. So, that is variyan. Those questions are indeed very great. Not only great, shastravit mataha. Approved by all acharyas, all shastravits, traditional teachers. These questions are approved by all of them. That is why Krishna specifically says in the Bhagavad Gita, tadviddi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. He said pariprashna. He uses the word pariprashna and not prashna. A mature student is the one who knows what to ask, how to ask, how much to ask, when to ask, where to ask, whom to ask, all these things are known to a very mature student. So, they are all important and therefore the adjective pariprashna, pari, prashna is appreciated by all. Shastravit, shastravit means well-known, acharyas, who are proficient in the shastras, they all appreciate it. And mataha, mataha means samataha, appreciate, they acknowledge. Not only that, sutra prayaha means what? Your question has the shortest number of words like sutras, Brahma sutras. These are all aphorisms with minimum number of words. The information density is so high that within one or two words, they communicate a lot. So like a sutra, that means what? The thinking should be very clear. Then only they can compact that question within one or two words. Then vigudhartaha, very significant, very pregnant questions. That's all given in one verse in the 49th shloka. But the answer is going to be given by the acharya from shloka 50 till the end of Viveka Chudamani. For all these seven questions, the answers are given in so many shlokas. So how compact these questions are and how much the acharya has to elaborate answering these questions. Not only that, jnatavya cha mumukshubihi. The answer is not only relevant to you, but to all the seekers. You means to the two students, but to all the seekers, mumukshubihi. For all of them, this is relevant. It's not just only to you, for all of them. Shloka 69. Shrunushvavahito vidvan yanmaya samudhiryate tade tachranavat sadhyaha bhavabhantati mokshase. Everywhere Bhavabandha. Here he says, I am going to give the answers and I request you to listen to my answers carefully. Yes, teacher has to ask to make the student to listen to him. Some people generally ask the questions, but they don't listen to the answers at all carefully. How do you know that? After a few days, they ask the same question again. Or some people like their questions so much they fall in love with them and ask all the teachers. And they say, I have asked all of them and I'm asking you also. They will ask to the present teacher also. So the teacher says, don't fall in love with your questions. If the answer is not clear, ask which part of the answer is unclear. Then asking the same question again. Then I will know at least you listen to the answer partially. Then the teacher knows that one has listened to the answer but has specific doubt about some part of the answer. So like, you know, Brahma Satyam or Jagat Mithya or Jivo Brahma Ivanapara. So at least ask which portion of it you don't understand. Therefore he says, Avahitaha Shrunushva, with attention, derived from the, it is root from the root ava, avadha, avadhanam, attention, alertness. The word savadhanam, you know, we are familiar with the word savadhanam. That came from this only, sa avadhanam, with alertness. Shrunushva, may you listen with alertness. Hey Vidwan, he is addressing him. Hey Vidwan, the teacher addresses the student as a learned person, Vidwan. Since the student seems to know a lot of things and have thought of these questions, so listen to what? Yat maya samudiryate. What is taught by me? Why should you listen to me? Because yetat shravanat vimukshase. By listening to my teaching, you will be freed. You will be liberated. From what? Bhava bandhat. From the bond or shackles of bhava, samsara. How long will it take? The teacher makes a point. If you are very alert, consistent and systematic for a length of time, even at the end of this teaching itself, at the end of Shravanam itself, you can discover the freedom. You don't have to require to a separate effort. Sadhyaha, immediately through Shravanam itself, without even going through Mananam and Nididhyasanam, you can understand. But such cases are very rare though. Shloka 70. Mokshasya hetu prathamo nigadhyate vairagyam atyantam anitya vastushu tatashamaschapi tamastitiksha nyasa prasaktakila karmanambrisham. So in these shlokas, the teacher gives the procedure the seeker has to follow. What procedure the seeker has to follow? The teacher gives the procedure here. The entire procedure is given in a nutshell, like a roadmap. You know, these days we are familiar with roadmaps. So the Vedic life, the lifestyle of the Vedas. So the Acharya, he emphasizes the acquisition of the fourfold qualifications at the first stage. So because to pursue moksha, one should have a value for moksha. Unless I believe moksha is important. Initially, we present that there are four goals, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That's what we present. But later we say dharma, artha and kama are only seeming goals and not real goals. First one thing, that artha or wealth is the goal. Then goes after kama and then dharma, punya, etc. Finally finds out that none of them are real goals. So like a person who learned, for example, music. Swamiji says he learned music for about 7-8 years. And finally said what? Music is not for me. I cannot learn it. So 7 years of struggle, both for himself and the teacher, and maybe perhaps the neighbors also. So then he concludes that music is not for me. But still, it is worth, because at least hereafter he will not sing. So one discovers moksha, that is the only goal, that is called viveka. So he says, mokshasya hetuhu prathamaha nigatyate. The first step for moksha, this step for moksha is what? Is vivekaha. Prathamaha nigatyate. Which Shankaracharya does not mention here, but we have to understand. So sarvam paravasham dukkham. Sarvam atmavasam sukham. So sarvam paravasham means what? Dependence on things. Paravasham. People, situation, dependence on all of them. That is dukkham. Independence alone. Sarvam atmavasham. Independence alone is joy. So dependence leads to expectation, which leads to frustration, including God. One can keep on praying to God. If something is not fulfilled, one gets frustrated even with the God. Psychological independence and the consequent dropping of expectation and freedom from anxiety and frustration, that alone is real freedom. This understanding is called Vivekaha, which will lead to then Vairagyam, dispassion. So dropping the tendency to depend on external things, people and situation. I drop one by one, still holding on to things that I need than letting it hold me. As Swamiji always says, you can have desire, no problem. Never let desire have you. When I hold, I am free. When I need, it holds me. So reduce the needs. Vairagyam. How much? Atyantam. That should be total. One cannot say partly I will give up. No. No vagueness. It should be tivra vairagyam. Not hatred. It is as, actually hatred is also as bad as attachment. One should be very clear. Vairagyam is dropping off both attachment and hatred. Not only attachment and hatred also. That is ragat dvesha atitattvam. That is called vairagyam. In what? In anitya vastu. All ephemeral things, unpredictable things, leave attachment to all of them. If I hold on to them, my life itself will become unpredictable. Then the third thing is what? Shamadhi shatka sampattihi. So Viveka and Vairagya were already given. Then Shamadhi shatka sampattihi. The sixfold qualification. Shamaha. Shamaha means thought discipline, mind control. Like a series of actions and results. And the action is first born at the thought level only. And they say, watch your thought, because they become your words. Watch your words, they become your action. Watch your action, they become your habit. Watch your habit, they become your personality. Watch your personality, they become your very life or destiny itself. So our whole life is made up of the bricks of thoughts. So regulate your thoughts, modify them, moderate them, improve your thought life. That is called Shamaha. Then Dhamaha, regulation of the sense organs. Then Titiksha. Titiksha means strengthening the mind to accept the opposite experiences in life. Dvandvaha, forbearance, increasing one's tolerance level to avoid anxiety. Then Uparatihi. Uparatihi means Shankaracharya defines it as Sanyasaha. So, prasakta akila karmanam, prasakta akila sarmanam, sannyasaha. The renunciation of all activities. Prasakta means relevant, all relevant activities. Renunciation of all of them, depending on one's ashrama, whether he is in brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, depending on that. And again, the word uparati has got two meanings. One is what is given in Viveka Chudamani, which is the popular meaning. And the second meaning is given in Tattvabodha. That is not sannyasa. Here it is renunciation. In Tattvabodha, it is not sannyasa. Suppose a person is in grahastha ashrama and he is not able to take sannyasa. Then uparati is defined as avoidance of all unnecessary activities by reducing the kamya karmas. So prayaschitta nishiddha karmas, by reducing all of them. So reduction of materialistic pursuits, that is considered there. Don't work for money, fame, etc. for 24 hours. At least devote a couple of hours in a day for Vedanta. Once all these karmas are reduced, one will find time for Vedanta and will be as good as a sannyasi. So even though it is not real renunciation, the person can be in grahastha ashrama but behave as good as a sannyasi. Who says this? Tattvabodha says, we already saw that. So, swadharma anushtanam eva uparatihi. That was the definition given there. And Gita also says what? Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karotiyaha sa sanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir cha kriyaha. So, grahastha also is a sannyasi if he knows time management. That is, he is able to allocate time for spiritual pursuit, for Vedanta. This is called Uparati. Then some more qualifications are also mentioned, Shraddha and Samadhanam, and later Mumukshutva. So all these qualifications, all of them, they are all enumerated before. We have to only remember them in this context, even though they were not individually mentioned. In short, the Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampattihi, a religious life, is for Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. So religion is required for acquiring these qualifications. Mere philosophy will be a dry philosophy only. One cannot gain these qualifications just by mere philosophy. That is why in our tradition, all traditional philosophers, they were religious people, including Adi Shankara. So religion is very important to discipline the mind and our senses. Shloka 71. Tata shrutistan mananam satatva dhyanam chiram nitya nirantaram munehe tato vikalpam paramitya vidvan iheva nirvana sukam samruchyati. So in the previous shloka, the first stage was said, that is acquiring the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti through a religious life. So qualifications. This religious life is elaborately discussed in the Bhagavad Gita as what? As karma yoga and upasana. This religious life, Shankara does not discuss within Viveka Chudamani because he assumes that the student of Viveka Chudamani should have crossed the first stage. So we all have crossed the first stage. If not, one has to concentrate on that also by studying the Gita, Bhagavad Gita, where Karma Yoga, Upasana, they are all talked about. That is, Karma Yoga plus Upasana is religious life. That means it gives a qualified mind and then gives the person Jnana Yogyata, the qualification to pursue Jnana Marga. Then what is the next step? Tataha means thereafterwards, one has to enter Jnana Yoga, which consists of three stages, namely Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam, which is philosophy. After religion comes philosophy. After Veda Purva Bhaga comes Veda Antaha. After Dharma Shastra comes Brahma Shastra. After ethics comes philosophy. This is the order. Then only the growth will be beneficial. So he says, Tataha Shrutihi. We have to be careful. Shruti does not mean Veda, but Shravanam here. Shruti does not mean Vedas. Veda also is called Shruti, but it is Shravanam here. Shravanam of what? Scriptural Shravana. To find out what is essential teaching of the scriptures. Because you are the Jnana Margana. So this is an elaborate process and requires lot of effort, including knowledge in language. Then I should be convinced about what the scripture says. Namely, I am free here and now. That's what Vedanta says. It is not something to get posthumously. It is not a posthumous award. It is not after death or in some other loka. But it is here and now. Moksha is here and now. This process is called Shravanam. Then I might know that I am free here and now, but my experience is totally different in day-to-day life. So there seems to be a contradiction between what I experience and what the scriptures say. Then how do I resolve it? It is an intellectual obstacle. So I must think and analyze a lot and arrive at the conclusion without any doubts that there is no contradiction at all. So my experience is duality. Scriptures say non-duality. I should be convinced that there is no contradiction at all between my experience and what the scriptures say. My experience is sorrow. Scriptural teaching is what? I am embodiment of Ananda. I have to convincingly know that there is no contradiction here also. Similarly, I feel I am limited. Whereas the scriptures say I am infinite. At every level, my worldly experience and scriptural teaching, they may be different. But I should know convincingly that there is no contradiction. Like what? I experience that the star is small. That is my experience. But science says it is too big. So my experience should not contradict the fact. It should be a matter of clear understanding. experience of sunrise should not disturb my understanding that sun does not rise. At every level, I should be able to say I am free, not because of any particular experience, but I am free in spite of any type of experience. That is how knowledge should dawn. This conviction has to come by what? By the second stage called mananam. So shravanam, then mananam. Then comes the final stage, the removal of the emotional blocks, which are extremely powerful. Technically, this is called nididhyasanam or viparita bhavana nivrittihi. So anti-Vedantic emotions, raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mata, matsaryadi, all are obstacles for assimilation. This is purely a subjective approach since it varies from person to person. That is why in mananam and nididhyasanam, the teacher and shastra can provide only a secondary support role only. Whereas for shravanam, they play the primary role, since the teacher has to explain the concepts of the Upanishads. So there he plays the primary role. The acharya says, tat mananam, tat means the reflection upon the Upanishadic teaching. So it is shravana vidyayaha mananam. And then satattva dhyanam, the truth which is atma or brahman, that is the tattvam, reality. From the individual's angles, it is atma. And the same reality with respect to the totality is called Brahman. So Atma and Brahman are same. If from the individual angle, it is called Atma. From the total, it is Brahman, which happens to be both identical. So that has to be dwelt upon. Dhyanam. How long? Sthiram. For a very long time. When changing the physical personality, when that itself takes so much of running, so many. For example, if I want to become healthy, I want to tone my body muscles and all. How much of effort is required? So much of running, so much of sit-ups, so much of this, that and all for months and years. Then what to talk of emotional personality? If physical personality requires this much of drill, how much time and effort has to be allocated for tuning the emotional personality? It cannot be changed easily at all. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, sthiram, for a very long time. And nityam, regularly. It cannot be just, okay, once in a blue moon, once in 15 days, once in a week. Regularly. And nirantaram, without any gap. Munehe. Munehe means for the committed seeker, for a serious seeker, dedicated seeker. He has to follow all these three, giving top priority to them. Which are the three? Shravanam, mananam, and nididhyasanam. And what is the result of this? Tataha vidwan avikalpam param yetya. Tataha, thereafter. Thereafter means what? After shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, anantaram. As a consequence of these three, vidwan yetya. That intelligent or discriminative person. Vidwan here means not jnani. The discriminative person attains yetya. Yetya means attains what? Jivan mukti. What is that jivan mukti? That is param, the ultimate, or Brahman, or the reality. And what type of param Brahma? Avikalpam, that which is free from division. Vikalpa is division. Avikalpam means free from division. And what is that? The subject, object, instrument division, or pramata, pramana, prameya division. That is called savikalpa. This division is called savikalpa, but he is avikalpa, means divisionless. And how does he attain this divisionlessness? If you would ask, he understands that division belongs to matter. It does not belong to consciousness. And that divisionless consciousness, I am. That is what he understands. In which consciousness, all the divisions of matter are all floating. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam. We saw it in Dakshinamurti Stotram. Just as the undivided waker, the dream divisions are all floating in him. Similarly, in the undivided consciousness, the matter and the material world, those divisions exist. And if one wants an experiential model for that, the Upanishad gives the model of the three states of experience, the Jagrat Avastha, the Swapna Avastha, and the Sushupti Avastha. In Jagrat and Swapna Avastha, the wakeful and the dream states, the material divisions arise, and I, the consciousness, support them. In the Sushupti Avastha, in the deep sleep state, all the material divisions are resolved, and I am witness of the dissolved condition also. In me, the undivided witness, the consciousness, the material divisions arise and dissolve. This recognition is called avikalpa. We are now trying to explain the avikalpa word. So, avikalpa paraha praptihi or brahma praptihi. And this alone is called jivan mukti. And why we call it muktihi? Muktihi means freedom. Freedom from divisions is called muktihi. Freedom from Veda is called muktihi. Since division alone is responsible for all of our problems at any level, division alone causes raga, dvesha, jealousy, limitation, mortality. Everything is caused by division. So freedom from division is freedom from samsara. That's what Acharya says. Therefore, avikalpa param is equal to mokshaha. That is said in the fourth line. Having freed from division, nirvana sukham rudyati, moksha sukham. Nirvana sukham means moksha sukham or jivan mukti, the ananda of jivan mukti, the fulfillment of jivan mukti one gets. When? Iha eva, here and now. It is not a posthumous experience. Here and now. But while living, the person enjoys. So in these two shlokas, the Acharya has summarized religion and philosophy, or karma and jnanam, pravritti and nivritti. So they are all summarized in a nutshell in these two shlokas. Shloka 72. Yadbodhavyam tavedanim atmanatma vivechanam taduchyate maya samyak shrutvatmanya anyavadharaya. Here the Acharya introduces the topic that is going to start from actually the next shloka. So he is giving the introduction of the topic here. Atma anatma vivechanam bodhavyam. So among the seven questions that you have asked me, the main topic is what? Atma anatma vivechanam. The discrimination between atma and anatma. Atma is consciousness and anatma. Consciousness chaitanyam and anatma is matter. And this is required, this discrimination, because matter and consciousness are together. We are not able to separate them physically, experimentally. Even science is not able to separate matter and consciousness. That is why the nature of consciousness is ever a mystery. Will be forever also, in future also. So Shankaracharya says, based on the Upanishads, we are going to deal with the matter and consciousness separation. So, Atma Anatma Vivechanam Bodhavyam. That has to be known. So, Idanim Tava, right now, for you. Tava, for you. So, right now it is to be known for you. Tat Maya Samyak Uchyate. Tat Maya Samyak is going to be very clearly, Samyak Uchyate, clearly presented by me. And Shrutva, may you listen to it very carefully. And having listened to it, Avadharaya, may you ascertain in your mind. It should not be my knowledge or scriptural knowledge. It should be your own knowledge. After listening to me, it has to become your own knowledge. So, avadharanam means what? Nischaya jnanam, conviction. And where should you ascertain that? Atmani, in your own mind. Here, atma means not Sachidananda atma, but antakaranam. So, in your own mind, you should make this conviction, this knowledge. Shloka 73. Majjasthi meta palarakta charma twagahvayirdha dhatubhir ebirinvitam padoru vaksho buja prishtamastakaihi angairu pangairu payuktametat. So the glorification of the student and the teaching, which started from Shloka 50, until shloka 71, 72, that's over. Now from this shloka onwards, that main teaching begins. From this shloka only, the answer to the 7 questions that the student raised. So we can say Viveka Chudamani literally begins only from this shloka. All the previous shlokas are only preparatory shlokas only. So if you remember what are the 7 questions, it is good to just recapitulate those 7 questions. Ko nama bandaha, katam yesha agataha, katam pratishtasya, katam vimoksha, kosavanatma paramaha, kaha anatma, and then tayor vivekaha. So these are the 7 questions. So tadam yetat uchyatam, that's what the student asked the teacher then. 49th shloka, if you remember. Shankaracharya does not answer them in the same order, but rearranges them for our convenience in understanding. The first question he takes up is, kaha anatma, what is anatma or matter? And presents the anatma as shariratrayam, the 3 bodies, namely the physical or gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body, sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, and karana shariram. Then what about the external world? It is also anatma, it is also matter only, but Shankaracharya does not want to say, because everyone knows and accept as matter, the external world, we all know it is matter. And as an object, it is different from me. There are no questions about that at all. There is no mistake also committed, since no one has, no one says, I am this desk or I am this book. Nobody says, they know they are different from those. But the confusion comes when, whether my physical body is also matter or am I the physical body, only those instances the real doubts come. Similarly, what about mind? For some people, mind is consciousness. That is why they say mind and matter. Mind is different from matter. That's why they say mind and matter. And this mind's conscious entity. Shankaracharya, with the help of Upanishad, says mind or sukshma shariram also is matter. Sukshma shariram, the subtle body. Mind also is matter. And finally, karana shariram, the causal body, which is the cause for both the bodies. Because the gross body and the subtle body in the seed form or in the potential form. The karana shariram, both the gross body and the subtle body, yeah, they exist in the karana shariram in the potential form. Because matter can never be created nor destroyed. So the matter should have been in potential form. So the Big Bang theory and all those things. So that is called karana shariram, causal body. And he says all these 3 bodies, they come under anatma or matter. They are all anatma, matter only. Then what about atma? He says, the atma, the conscious principle, is distinct from all these 3 bodies. In this context, we should remember the way we define consciousness in our introduction. Actually, I have given this many times in many places, but I keep on giving it because these concepts have to be very, very clearly understood. So if you remember all that, number one, consciousness is not a part, not a property, nor a product of the body. Number two, consciousness is distinct entity which pervades and enlivens the body. 3, consciousness survives even after the fall of matter or body. We don't see this by observation outside, but based on scriptures. And number 4, consciousness or atma is nirgunam, free from attributes or properties. And 5, consciousness or atma is nirvikaram, free from any modifications. And 6, consciousness is nirvikalpam, free from division. And 7, consciousness is anantam, is free from time or space limitations. So all these definitions we should keep in mind. So throughout our discussion, this should be remembered. Now we are going to discuss what? The anatma comprising the shariratrayam, the 3 bodies, to differentiate from atma. So from shloka 73 to shloka 123, 50 shlokas nearly, Sharira Traya Rupa Anatma topic is discussed. Matter principle consisting of the three bodies. In Vedanta, they are called Anatma. So, of these three bodies, the gross body or the Stula Shariram is taken first for discussion by the Acharya. So, in Shloka 73 to 91, about 20 verses, on the physical body he discusses. That is why Viveka Chudamani is so big. It's kind of 578 shlokas. Because our thinking is that what? All expansive or pervading consciousness is entrapped or imprisoned in the physical body. That's what we think. So, learn to cut off this association with this body so that the sense of limitation will disappear. And body identification is the most difficult to get over. And so Shankaracharya, he talks about not glory of the body, then the attachment will be even more. That's why he won't talk about the glory of the body. Not that body is not glorious, because body is glorious, but he talks about the limitation of the body so that I will put it in proper place. I know body is important, but I will put it in proper place. So he says that the physical body or the sthula shariram is a bundle of various parts or limbs, which is called in Ayurveda as dhatavaha or dhatuhu. So Ayurveda, they call the various parts as dhatavaha or dhatuhu. So every ingredient of the body is a dhatu. And all ingredients put together is the total body, the shariram. And why each ingredient is called a dhatu? Because each one sustains the body. Dhatte iti dhatuhu, that which sustains. If there is a deficiency in any one of the ingredients, sooner or later the body will get affected. Sickness and death will all ensue. So only difference is what? In Ayurveda, they divide the body in their own way, whereas the modern science might call it as hormones, this, that, and all that. Ultimately, the idea is what? The body is only a bundle of matter. What are the different divisions or ingredients of this body? He says, Majja, Asthi, Medaha, Pala, Rakta, Charma, and Tvaka. Seven dhatus are there. And that is why in the Nirvana Shatkam, there is one beautiful composition by Adi Shankara, that he says, Nava Sapta Dhatuhu, Nava Pancha Koshaha, Navag Pada Pani, Nachopasta Payuhu, Siddhananda Rupaham, Shivoham, Shivoham. He says, I am not the Sapta Dhatu, the hormones, the epidermis, endodermis, none of them are I am. But I am the consciousness enlivening all of them. The Sapta Dhatus are mentioned here in this shloka. Majja. Majja means the bone marrow. Asthi, bone. Medaha is the fat. Palaha is the muscle or flesh. Raktam, blood. Charma, the outer skin. And Tvak, the inner skin. So all these known as what? Ahvayaihi. Ahvayaihi Dhatubihi. Called the seven Dhatus. And these seven ingredients, anvitam, the body consists of all these seven. And this is scientific division for which one needs to study some medicine. But without the study of medicine, we can divide the body into so many parts. And the second type of division is a layman's division. And what is that? Pada, Uru, Vaksha, Bhuja, Prishta, Mastakaihi. Pada means feet. Uru means thigh, Vaksha is chest, and Bhuja shoulders, Prishta the back portion, and Mastaka the head portion. The various limbs comprising of all these. And many ingredients comprising the bone marrow. So this is the bundle of blood, bone, chemicals. So man's what? Everything matter. So the body is matter. So we call it biochemistry. And if there is some fluctuation in biochemistry, the person behaves differently. All these chemical imbalance, this, that, all those things. So from that it is clear that mind is a function of biochemistry only. So angaihi. Angaihi means the primary limbs. Not only these limbs are there, they are upangaihi. Upangaihi also, secondary limbs. Example, the head is the primary part. And within the head, we have got the eye, the nose, the mouth, the ear. They are called upangas. And the hand is the primary part. And within the hand, we have got the palm, the wrist, the fingers. They are all the secondary parts. So the body consists of primary limbs, angaihi, and upangaihi, the secondary limbs. Even tertiary limbs are also there. For example, fingernails, they are hair. One can go on reducing into molecules and atoms, subatomic particles, all are matter. And then the scientists will say, we cannot study anymore. We have gone to the most fundamental, we cannot study anymore. That is why the Vedantin says that these are all mithya in nature. They appear to be real, but not really real. But the observer alone is steady. The subject, the observer, observed is matter, mithya or anatma. While specifying the sthula shariram, the gross body, why should Shankara talk about so many parts in the body? That question we might ask. Is it not well known? We all know it, because that's not a big deal about it. Why should he waste one shloka on that? And the significance is that the scriptures have defined consciousness as divisionless, which is the Atma, whereas we are evidently experiencing body as full of division. So indirectly, Shankaracharya asked the question, how can the body, which is full of divisions, can be the undivided Atma? So savikalpaka shariram nirvikalpaka chaitanyam na bhavati. It cannot become. So to drive home that point, he writes all those things, the various components of the body, in a separate shloka. Shloka 74. Aham mameti pratitam shariram mohaspatam stulam ityiryate budaihi nabho nabas vaddahanam bubhumayaha sukshmani bhutani bhavantitani. The same idea is continued in this shloka also. Shariram mohaspadam, body, shariram, is the basis for all our delusions, mohaha. Aspadam means the root cause. So fundamental basis for all our confusions. The all-pervading consciousness which expresses in the body is seemingly confined to the body because of what? The limitation of the body. Because the limitation of the body. So what is the mistake I commit? Instead of claiming that I am all-pervading consciousness, what do? Claim that I am the individual human being. So once I claim individuality, then all other attributes, they will all naturally come. What are those attributes? Like date of birth. Even though consciousness does not have a date of birth, the date of birth of the body becomes the date of birth of consciousness. So many years old, male, female, dark, lean, all those things come. And thereafterwards, what? Further relations, like father, mother, wife, children, all those things come. So the Acharya says, moha aspadam. This is the root cause of all delusions. I question the very consciousness itself. Because of what? Because of body only. And what a tragedy it is. I question the very consciousness because of the very body, which is so anithyam. And how does it create delusion? Aham mama iti praditam. By making itself available for two types of notions. What are the two types of notion? Aham, ahankara, the I notion. And mamakara, the mine notion. That itself causes more confusion. Sometimes I say, I am the body. And sometimes I say, my body is aching. Both I do. We are not sure whether the body is me or body is mine. Many times we have this confusion, the way we express ourselves. Sometimes I say, I am so and so, in which I include the hand, and sometimes I say, my hand is hurting. So when I say I am so and so, all my body parts are included. But I say my hand is hurting in another sense. So when I say my hand, the hand is different from myself. And when I say I am writing, then I means the hand. So when I say I am writing, the I there means the hand. So the body is available for I and my identification. I and mine identification. So ahankara mamakara rupena praditam. It is identified universally. And this body is given the name sthulam iti iryate. This physical body is called the sthula shariram, the physical body, the grossest form of matter. Because later the mind is going to be defined as subtle form of matter. Later when we are going to discuss the mind, it is going to be called the subtle form of matter. So here it is called the gross form of matter. Because mind is intangible. And now the mind is active during the waking stage, and during sleep the mind is resolved. Then it becomes the subtlest form of matter. Once mind is resolved, it is in dormant form, so it is in the subtlest form of matter. Normally in science, we have energy and matter. Both are interconvertible. Matter is visible, whereas energy is invisible. In Vedanta, we have three forms, which are the sthula shariram, the sukshma shariram, and karana shariram, the physical body, the subtle body, and the causal body. So in this shloka, it is called sthula shariram by whom? Udaihi, the wise people, whose model is based on what? Based on the scriptures. The wise people base their model on the scriptures. And this physical body is made up of what? Made up of the five elements, which are also matter, nabaha. Nabaha means akasha. And dahanaha. Dahanaha is agnihi. And nabasvata. Nabasvata means vayu. And ambu is apaha, the water. And tani bhutani bhavanti. And prithivi. Prithivi is bhumayaha. Bhumayaha means earth. And why should we say that the body is made out of these five elements? It is only to show that the physical body is also matter. So, tani bhutani bhavanti. Now, in science, we can go by another route also, that the body consists of what? Carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, calcium. We can say all those elements. So here five elements in Vedanta is the five elements, that, you know, natural elements, akasha, agni, vayu, and all that. Here we can also go by the other five elements, the chemical elements. Now we can go by that route also. But in tradition, instead of talking about all these 100+ elements as in science, they talk in terms of the pancha bhutani, the five elements, gross elements. Either way, body is made out of matter only. So the sthula shariram, the body, and the sukshma shariram. We are going to have the discussion separately for sukshma shariram. It is made up of only matter. So it cannot have consciousness of its own, because consciousness is not a product of matter. We already went through the definition earlier, all the seven definitions I gave earlier. So consciousness is not a product of matter. So the five elements the Acharya introduces in the second part of the shloka, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwarah. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.